Welcome to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for your Hot Seat Edition. Today's discussion, we'll be talking about the consequences of being passive. And as usual, I have some thoughts I need to share out loud with you before we get the show started. So, stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Now to sponsor myself, me, that's right, I have absolutely no money to be made off this, just getting the word out. Now, if you've ever wondered where I get my Thinking Out Loud monologues from, well, I'm glad you asked, because they're just my articles from a Substack newsletters. Just type in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com, I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com, spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. Then you can follow me on Instagram, Getter, TikTok, and soon, Truth Social at Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express. Then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook. Type in Taboo Topic in the search bar. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. There's two episodes a week. I have a Hot Seat Edition where I scrutinize an opinion or story, popular or unpopular. Do my research so to provoke thought. Remember, that also comes with an article on Substack, so don't forget about that, on Wednesdays. Then on Friday, we go over current events, where I pick 2 to 4 stories I found interesting, and hopefully you do as well. Possibly more if I have a guest, then there's a good conversation so we can cover as many bases as possible, so you, the audience, have less holes to fill in understanding the truth. That's 2 episodes a week, guaranteed, which you can listen to this show on any platform, from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. To stay up to date and tune in. Don't forget to leave a review either. If it's less than a 5-star, let me know so I can better serve you. Here on this show, we dare to think out loud and question the narrative. Free speech triumphs your safe space, because in order for us to think, we have to risk being offensive. If we want to have true peace in our society, we have to be able to be honest with each other. If we can be honest with each other, then we'll have a true understanding that'll lead to real peace. Amen? Alright, let's get back to the show. And welcome back. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. And I have some thoughts I need to share out loud considering being passive. Or in Christian terms, sin unattended. Because frankly, March was quite a month for us here in America. One would think April Fool's Day would be a break from the insanity from current events. Unfortunately, what used to be considered a parody straight from the Babylon Bee or The Onion has often become reality, especially when it comes to society. Some may dismiss what's going on, thinking there's no point in this depravity. The libertarian approach has been popularized by many on the right, especially for the last decade. But we have to ask ourselves, has this approach been constructive or destructive? Now, we've probably all heard this at some point. Just let everyone live their lives. If it's not affecting you, why care what their lifestyle choices are? Let it be. Leave it alone. Interestingly enough, the same individuals who share this sentiment will complain about how far society has fallen in terms of morality and values. Even Christians have taken this hands-off approach. It started with the progressives of the faith, but slowly conservatives adopted this paradigm. Some are reluctant to hold those who claim the same faith accountable when they've openly denied God's power in certain aspects of their life. They openly live in sin while claiming God's name, in a similar fashion to Will Smith after he slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars. An unrepented life, with the individual as the gatekeeper of morality instead of leaving it to God. And despite the obvious hypocrisy, the person who does call for accountability in accordance with God's law is often vilified. A call to lift the other person to a higher standard, the one God set before us. Repentance is a vital component of this conversation. And I know some of you guys who are secular, atheists, agnostics, you're not going to understand that word. It's a big churchy word. But the word repentance means a change of mind. Now, I'm not talking about this. I'm not suggesting by saying all this that those who are open and honest about their sins are to be judged. Much like the adulteress who was about to be stoned before Jesus stepped in, she recognized the law she had just broken. And many modern Christians today on both sides use this passage from John 8 to justify passivity. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone, from verse 7. Here's what's overlooked. Jesus saw the adulteress's heart. She knew she had sinned against God. And once she saw God's mercy, she had a change of mind to turn away from the sin that got her in that situation. This eventually led Jesus to tell the woman, go on and sin no more. That's repentance, a change of mind, with the willingness to surrender the flesh daily to live out God's will. Now, we all fail this, including myself. I fail almost daily in some department. But regardless, part of living according to God's will is lifting people of faith to higher standards. Yes, there is grace. However, what's the point of grace if one isn't willing to be truthful about the state of the individual? Believers in Christ have the responsibility to call out each other's hypocrisy in the same manner Jesus did. There are people in my life that hold me accountable for the language I use and other aspects of sin, especially when it comes to language anyway during recordings for a podcast like this. It's an area that needs work. However, not only do I see the need to address this, but I want to encourage others to do the same. What I want for myself, I want for others, because I have observed how sin can bring destruction into somebody else's life and myself. If I'm struggling with a matter of my conscience, such as, I don't know, whether Disney is contributing to their satanic agenda, guess what? That means I'll also be challenging anyone whose conscience isn't being affected. Plot twist, the devil hates that. The devil would love nothing more than to keep sin in the dark unaddressed. That's how we are seeing new levels of depravity reach to the point where the normalization of pedophilia is at our doorstep. When left alone, that's when sin gains momentum. It's a slow cooker as it starts with giving sin 1 inch. Society didn't get to this point overnight. This was an accumulation throughout the years of rejecting God's laws in favor of our own understanding. This is the same circumstance that led to Eve eating the fruit. Not only did Eve favor her own understanding, but Adam watched idly by as the snake smooth-talked Eve into eating the fruit of knowledge. Adam took the hands-off approach in that situation. Thus, sin entered the world. Sin that's been known to bring disease, natural disasters, genocides, wars, was the result of Adam not calling Eve to a higher standard as God commanded. The levels of depravity we're experiencing now shouldn't be a surprise, yet we should be convicted by it as well. The church failed. But there's hope in Christ. As many times we may fall, Christ will command us to get up and walk again. We continue to walk in righteousness that's covered by the blood of Jesus by doing our best to live out his will. Repentance from the church is the key starting point for the pattern of sin to break. Thus, maybe, just maybe, these headlines may become a parody once more. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. And now to take a short break from the show to keep my promise and bring in awareness to the situation in Afghanistan, where we have about 9,000 American citizens who were left behind as a result of the disastrous withdrawal efforts by the Biden administration last year. The elite globalist leaders, the media, and big tech may have forgotten about them and would rather focus on other manners, but the reality is we have Americans we're in harm's way because nobody wants to hold our leaders accountable. It's just too inconvenient for them. So this is a special shout out to the families and friends who have someone they know and love stuck in that country, and also to the very ones who are stuck there. You are not forgotten, and I'll keep mentioning you until there is a report, there is a concentrated effort to bring you home, and every single one of you comes back to American soil. Please, if you fall into one of these categories, either you're the family friend that knows someone that's there, and you want to let me know how we can better help you out, please reach out. Or if you're that person that just so happens to be stuck there and you happen to be listening to this episode, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me through my personal account on Instagram at Kenjin296. I repeat, Kenjin296. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296. Please, you're not forgotten. To my audience out there, don't forget to pray. Let's pray for their safety and their return home. And now, back to the show. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. What'd you think? Do you agree? Disagree? Neutral? You think I'm crazy? Now, to my audience out there who's non-religious, you don't have to listen if you don't want to. But if you want to listen and hear someone speak from a Christian worldview and listen to the merits of what I have to say, then by all means, listen in. But this is really mainly towards the church. I think this is something we ought to be talking about. Because as I mentioned in the monologue, pedophilia is at our doorstep. That's a fact. When you have a corporation like Disney brazenly admit their agenda, brazenly talk about their agenda, and lecture parents about morality, we have to ask ourselves, how do we get here? How do we get to this point where our children's safety is literally at stake for the next generation? And some of you may be thinking, well, Ken, you're a single man. Why do you care so much about this topic? And the fact of the matter is, I want to be a father someday. I really do. That's important to me. I want to be a father someday. I don't want to have to worry about whether or not my kid has to learn and have a school assembly to say no to pedophiles. Remember that talk at school assemblies? If you went to a public school, say no to strangers. Now, the premise of that obviously was to avoid the whole concept of pedophilia as well. But it's so bizarre to me to see how far we've come to where now we have basically people defending the right to teach sexuality to children. And yes, the quote-unquote don't say gay, or what I like to call the don't groom our children law in Florida that got passed, is the inspiration for this podcast or episode. My conversation with my editor last week was also an inspiration, because it got me thinking, genuinely, how do we get to this point? And I saw a post as well that I also had my wood chips burning. And this post was ironic, because the message was true, and I agree with the sentiment, but the messenger completely contradicted her lifestyle. I'm not talking about those who are open and honest about their sin and they show they're working on it. This is someone who has completely denied the power of God and embraced their sin as their identity. They're not even going to put up a fight. Now, granted, I don't know if this messenger is Christian or claims Christianity or religious. Probably not, but I just found it ironic that this person used a biblical character in the lifestyle, openly living in sin, which is, you know, if you defy God and his law, reject God and live in sin, by definition, you're living a satanic lifestyle. So the fact she used Satan in her message to express an opinion and sentiment about what's going on in society today, but yet she also has contributed to this, I found it ironic. For those who are wondering what the post was, I think the post is something along the lines of, it seems like Satan is working overtime lately. Something along those lines. And I'm not going to go ahead and call out the person directly or even the sin by itself. All you got to know is that was a sentiment that was expressed, and the person who claimed it, completely different lifestyle, using a biblical character to prove their point. And ironically enough, I'm not going to get into that, but that post alone had me wondering. Okay, actually, the fact that their lifestyle contradicts what their sentiment is, but yet they go really hard to speak out against that community as well. And I'm not saying this individual is a bad person. But then again, what defines a good or bad person by biblical standards? By biblical standards, the only good person to ever live on earth is Jesus. It was kind of the premise of my article. Premise of my monologue was that none of us are in a position to be in a moral high ground right now. Especially the church. The passivity, this hands-off approach, has destroyed Western society right now. And I'm going to say destroyed because I think it's there. We're already there. I think Western society has fallen because of the depravity that we've allowed to get to this point. We exist maybe by name, by maybe some public figures talking about us, but if you were to visit America, Europe, Australia 20 years ago and compared it to today, you would not recognize it. I don't recognize it, and it's only been 10 years. I could say that 10 years ago, the world was different. 10 years ago, we could agree that kids shouldn't be sexualized. They have no business to know about even heterosexuality. They don't need to know. We've lost our minds. But the thing is, we lost our minds because we let it get to this point, church. When do we lose trust in God and his standards? When did we become fearful to tell the truth? We are fearful to tell the truth now. We'd rather comfort people in lies than tell them the truth. And so when someone like myself or someone else does speak the truth, they can't stand it. They get mad. They want to reject it. Because in their eyes, for so long, they've been told one thing, and now suddenly they're being told it's not. That's not the truth. It's almost as if these people on that side, they're learning the reality that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Remember when you found out Santa Claus didn't exist? How hard was it for you to take and soak in that truth and reality? That's where the left is right now. When the right, or any Christian for that matter, within the church, starts speaking the truth about these societal manners and concerns of morality that contradict what we've been comforted for so long in the basket of lies that they can't comprehend. They're having a hard time soaking in. They don't want to hear the truth. And so we rather just keep our mouth shut, get that social acceptance, not be ridiculed, and go on with our lives. Look how that's worked out for us. Now we have Disney trying to groom children. And it's grooming. It is. Because let's think about this for one quick second. Do you really think kids know they're gay? Do you really think they know? Do you really think they know they're a different gender in another person's body, aka transgender? Do they know they're pansexual, asexual, with all these other letters in the alphabet mafia from the LGBTQIA plus community? Do you think they really know? Or do you think there was an adult that gave that impression that that's who they were? Think about that. How gullible were we when we were told about Santa Claus? And yet you want to tell me that this is not grooming kids? This is indoctrination. That's exactly what this is. I can't believe we're having this conversation. But that's what it is. What happened to letting kids be kids? Church, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We created this. And listen. There are people in the LGBTQIA plus community that have nothing or want nothing to do with anything of this descent to justify the grooming of our children. In fact, I would say that's probably the vast majority. Unfortunately, though, if they speak out, they also risk the chance of being ostracized from their own community. In the same manner, a black conservative or Hispanic conservative or any minority conservative that voted traditionally Democrat, they would be treated the same manner in the sense of being a sellout. And so many of them are also afraid to speak up. But I have to challenge even my friends in the LGBTQ community to look inward and have some introspection. At this point, all of us, we have to look inward and look, what have we done that's endangered the next generation of kids? What have we done? I am terrified. Even if, let's say it's God's will for me never to be a father. I hope to be a father. It's in my heart. But I'm also aware that at the end of the day, what God wants will override what I want. So even if I don't become a father, I don't want my friends who will become parents someday to have to worry about this. I don't want them to worry about this. And some of you may be thinking, I'm just rambling on. Well, you tuned in. You chose to come on this show. That's what I do for these episodes anyway. But we have to honestly think, what can we personally do? And I could start with the church because I'm part of the church. To turn the ship around. We have to go back to courageously give the gospel out to non-Christians again. That's the first step. As I mentioned in the monologue, the church needs to repent. And that change of mind means stop being silent on the gospel. Because at the end of the day, only God could change the heart. We can give the gospel, give them X, Y, and Z, why God exists and why Jesus Christ is the risen Messiah, the Most High. But we alone are not going to change their minds. God is powerful enough to change the mind and heart, though. Remove that heart of stone, give it a heart of flesh. And then after that, we have to actually start holding each other accountable. Not be afraid to call each other out. I've been called out. I've called people out within the church too. That's okay. Doesn't make you less loving. If anything, it makes you more loving because you want that person to grow. You want that person to live a God-honoring life for their sake. We don't call each other accountable for our own sake. We call it for because we want everyone else to have that life-honoring commitment, that blessing that comes with that. And as far as the possible rejection from the world on top of that, remember, Jesus got rejected first. Stop living in fear. The devil is known for fear, not God. So that by itself means we're living according to Satan, in other words, not according to God. Calling it out for what it is, right? We got to call it out for what it is. It's sin. Living in fear. We don't want to give the gospel. Well, we're living in sin then. Therefore, by definition, it's satanic. Kind of eerie feeling, isn't it? Whenever we stop putting ourselves on a pedestal and put God back up there first, stop leaning on our own understanding, we realize we're no better than the man next to us. Their level of depravity, it's not just a left thing. It's also the right. As I mentioned about a month ago, both the left and right have demons in the basement. Let's stop pretending one side doesn't have demons. And you may think, well, the right at least has more beliefs that align with the Bible, and I agree with. But that doesn't mean we're not called to a higher standard. We can't raise ourselves. Or that the right is sinless and guiltless of the situation that we're in right now. Church, it starts with us. And before I end this segment, we close things off. I'm going to go ahead and do my part and give the gospel real quick. Because you deserve the gospel if you're a non-believer. And I know I said earlier that you're a non-believer, you're not religious. You don't have to stay in and listen to this. But if you actually manage to stay and listen to what I have to say, by all means, this part is for you. And I hope that the Christian listening to this
I hope this encourages you to go out and speak to your friend or family member or even the next stranger you walk up to. Go ahead and share the gospel. It doesn't hurt. How many sins have you committed in your life? That's how I'll start off with this. Probably countless. You couldn't even count. You don't even have enough toes or fingers. Let's just be real. How many of those who raised your hand and probably have that sentiment, too many fingers and toes, think you have a chance at heaven because you do X, Y, and Z? Maybe you go to church occasionally, maybe for the big holidays like Easter or Christmas, Thanksgiving, or maybe you volunteer at your community every now and then. You see a homeless guy asking for money and you give a dollar bill or a $20 bill occasionally. You tip occasionally or all the time, whatever. How many have that sentiment as well? All of us have shared that sentiment at some point. Myself included. Before I became a Christian, I definitely had that thought process. That was my paradigm of the world. Now, what if I told you, though, that God said that's not enough? What if I told you just one sin is worthy of eternal punishment called hell? And it's not a good place to be as well. What if I told you that? What if I told you that's where we're all meant to go? That is our destiny. We are an enemy of God. But what if I also told you, despite the fact of our transgressions, God understood that. And that's why he sent himself into the form of a man, Jesus. Remember what I said earlier about Jesus being the only person on earth to ever be truly considered a good person? You know why I said that? Because he lived a sinless, perfect life. He didn't commit one sin, not one. And yet he was punished. He was chosen for a murderer to let go. Even the Roman soldier looked at the crowd and said, "This man has done nothing wrong. Are you crazy?" He didn't say you're crazy, but he might as well have said that. He was just perplexed at the crowd choosing a murderer to let go over Jesus, who didn't even commit a crime. And so, per Roman law, he was crucified, one of the most painful deaths, death sentences the Roman Empire imposed on their criminals. Think about it. Jesus was considered a criminal, even though he did nothing wrong. Some of you are criminal justice warriors, right? We don't like the idea of people getting punished for crimes they didn't commit. Well, Jesus didn't commit a single crime. The only crime he committed was the truth. In political terms, the Pharisees were using censorship and then punishing Jesus for speaking freely, speaking the truth freely. He wasn't afraid to speak the truth. That's what got him and made him considered to be a criminal. The nails were thrusted through his bones on his hands and on his feet. Some people say it's on his wrist. I don't know, but that doesn't matter because it's still going to be painful. And before he even got put to the cross, he was whipped. It was painful. And that's just putting it lightly. Went through all of that. They made him carry his cross to the location where he was going to be crucified officially. went through all of that just so you and I don't have to have eternal separation. He died, but as he predicted to his disciples, he would rise from the dead 3 days later. He also rose. That is why we celebrate Easter. He came back from the dead 3 days later. And some may think that's impossible. And I'll leave you with this thought. Either Jesus was insane, a liar, or telling the truth. If you don't think that's the case, that there's no way Jesus could come back from the dead 3 days later, those are the only scenarios, the only logical explanations. Otherwise, a Christian, we believe it is the truth. In John, it talks about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me. If you realize this, and you realize your need for Jesus, and you realize you and your actions alone cannot get you right with God, you just repented. All you have to do is just confess with your mouth and you shall be saved. Everything I just said, you can find in the Bible. It's that simple. And that's how we start turning the ship around, folks. We start sharing the gospel, church. And then hopefully, maybe one day, these conversations will be a distant memory. I pray to God that's the case. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Kendrew. Thanks for tuning into today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. And until the weekend review edition this week, I hope you all have a great, blessed Wednesday. See you then.